What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and D-Paul. What's poppin', boys?
Yo, how we doing?
Not much. What's good, fellas? How we doing?
Doing good so far. It was a long weekend, but this is a great way to end the weekend.
It is,
filming
man.
On Sunday.
And you know, I love these weekends, though. I think the only thing that would be better is if there was like a little bit more hockey of the Pittsburgh Penguins going on during a weekend like this with all the football going on. But man, divisional weekend in football is so great.
It is. The NFL playoffs are still going on and the Baltimore Ravens are moving on to the AFC Championship. And Lamar Jackson dazzled in this one with a 4-touchdown performance. What were you guys' thoughts on the game?
I thought the Ravens were good throughout the year. But, I mean, it's clear cut they're the best team in football right now. I do think C.J. Stroud is legit. I do think that they held their own for probably three quarters, and then it just kind of unraveled. They're just really, really fun to watch, and they wanted to upgrade their wide receiver room in the offseason. I didn't think Zay Flowers was going to do it. He has.
Yeah, I don't really good rookie.
Yeah, I just Lamar is healthy. He's moving well. He's picking up yards on the ground. Like I think they rushed for over 200 yards yesterday, and I think he led the team in rushing. So if he's going, this team is legit.
Yeah, you know, I believe Lamar was 0-4 in the divisional round, if I'm not mistaken. So he hadn't had quite as good playoff success as a talented player as he is. If that's the Lamar that we're gonna get, they're, I think, a clear-cut Super Bowl favorite. You know, whoever comes out of the NFC, I don't know if we want to spoil it right here or say who it was yet, but whoever comes out of the NFC, I think it's going to be Baltimore favorite in that matchup. I think it's the best defense in football, too. That defense is just dogs, and they just come at you from every angle, and honestly, good luck trying to get out of the way because they're just flying around like heat-seeking missiles. It's crazy.
It'll be interesting to see who they play right now when we're filming this. The Chiefs and the Bills are fighting right now to see who will win that game. But
which is an absolute banger of a game.
Yeah. This is,
is an absolute banger of a game.
Coming down to the fourth quarter right here, yeah.
Well, it's kind of a good transition there because I thought last night's game was really good against the 49ers and the Packers. San Francisco 49ers are going to be moving on. But I have to say, it seemed a bit scripted.
The missed field goal.
I don't know. The 49ers beat the Packers in a close one, 24-21. I mean, before we just go into the game and how I just think that this was a little scripted, I mean, Jordan Love against the pressure was phenomenal against the last two games that he had, two of the best defenses. So round of applause for him on a good season. He has a pretty bright future ahead of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, D-Paul, why don't you say your hot take on Jordan Love?
You know, I may have jumped the gun a little bit, but
this is when they were winning.
But what I saw from him over the past month of the season doesn't change what I'm about to say. And it's all going to come down to can he win Super Bowls? But I think he's the next Mahomes. I think like he's that next guy that they're going to pass the torch to. Brock Purdy still continues to amaze me. I'm just not sold on him. I know it's a great story and everything. I just don't think he's that guy. I think what the benefit with Love is he's going to be able to, he doesn't have as much wear on the tires. He had those 3 or 4 years off sitting behind Rodgers, just soaking it all in. I think he's going to be the next great one.
I do think he's really good. Do I think he's the next Mahomes? I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but would I say he's the Mahomes of the NFC? Yes. I watch him make throws, and it is literally watching Aaron Rodgers 10 years ago.
It is.
So he learned. He emulated this really well, and they're a couple pieces away, too, from being scary. That division all of a sudden is like really fun to watch, and it used to be just, oh, the Packers are going to win it. It is what it is. But, you know, Detroit is knocking on the door as well. So I think that division is going to be awesome to look at. But I can see where you're coming from with the scriptness. Don't worry. Like I pay attention to what Vegas is doing here. So yeah, I'm not saying it without saying it. You know what I mean?
Now, I mentioned it before, the Chiefs and Bills are playing right now. We were talking about the Super Bowl logo theory. You can find it on our channel if you want. Everybody in that comment section is 100% agreeing with us. There is a
it's new, too good to be not be true, you know.
Yeah, how do I want to say this? This NFL put out an additional Super Bowl logo.
No,
after
they didn't.
We made that video of an alternate one. Chiefs colors are in it now. So do you think they got to us? They saw our video and we're like, we got to pull back a little. And
for sure.
I'm on to something. But
I mean, the Chiefs are winning right now.
Yeah, no, but Deepa, am I seeing this right?
What?
Did this guy just fumble on the one for a touchback?
He did, yeah.
Yeah. The Chiefs might have just blown this game and Vegas might be hitting again. Yeah.
They had a chance to go up 10 and it was a fumble at the goal line. This always comes up, and it always comes up in huge spots. The reaching for the end zone and fumbling out of the end zone, I think it's the perfect call. There needs to be some sort of risk reward for extending the ball out like that.
Dude, I have a perfect idea. The second the ball crosses the plane, it blows up. like a powder.
Like a firecracker?
Like powder. Not like...
JPP not like, having nightmares.
How do you even do that? Do you just like have a designated person like in some press box somewhere with a button for it to happen?
No, like, you have a sensor straight across the goal line and the sensor in the ball. And the second it crosses, just like a gender reveal. Not like Bane.
Setting stadiums on fire.
Yeah, not like Bane in Dark Knight Rises. Just like, you know what I'm saying?
That'd be so lit.
Another game earlier today, the Detroit Lions are going to be playing in the NFC Championship to face off the 49ers. It will be Goff against Purdy. This will be the game of the week, in my opinion, but I feel like America is just on the Detroit train at this point, and everybody wants to see them go to the Super Bowl.
I really want to see him go to the Super Bowl. Like, I'm a huge Dan Campbell fan. I always have been since Hard Knocks. He was on that Lions team as a player when they went 0-16, yeah. And this dude has just won two playoff games. So I'm a huge Detroit Lions fan. Now, if you're looking at the matchup, right, Lions-Niners, that's a banger. But when you're looking at Bills-Ravens or Chiefs-Ravens, I still think the AFC matchup is like the main card. And I would say that NFC matchup is probably the undercard in that fight.
Yeah, I think both heavyweight bouts, but I kind of agree with you on that. And I don't know, boys, do you remember way back when? I want to even say like beginning of the NFL season, we all put out our power rankings and who we thought was going to come out of it and who we thought was going to be the dark horse. Do you guys remember who Deepaw said?
I do remember.
You had the Lions in the five.
I had the Lions in the five, but I said dark horse, Lions winning the Super Bowl this year. I think that was Jedi's question, was who's going to win the Super Bowl, and I threw out the Lions. So dude, I'll go back, I'll timestamp it for us, and I'll show it next time.
And if you remember, I misspoke and said the Packers instead of the Jets, and you were like, the Packers? 2020 hindsight, I should have just kept the fucking Packers. Yeah, the Packers, yeah. Holy shit.
Until it all went downhill for Aaron Rodgers real quick.
Real quick, brother.
Yeah, what about 6 minutes.
The best memes of like this decade already, I mean, in the 20s, is him walking out with the American flag. That meme has been going, it's amazing.
Yo, I'm not going to lie, that got me so hyped seeing that though. That was Monday night, dude. week one, dude, in New York. Are you serious, yeah. Dude? Dude? I was absolutely ready to fucking run out of that tunnel too.
Justin, I was about to run to my TV thinking that I'm going with him.
Oh, The script writers.
Writers. Sorry, go ahead. This is exactly how it happened last time.
Shit.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
This is absolutely wild that this was said. FanDuel, the sports betting company, posted a tweet that is extremely alarming. They said, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, Taylor Swift should be given a ring. Can we stop this insanity?
I'm telling you right now, I'm taking all my money out of FanDuel.
Well, I agree, but not a Super Bowl ring. And I think Kelsey just needs to wipe that up because my man's 5 for 75 with two tutties right now. So, you know what I mean? She deserves some props because my man looks like he's like 26. As for a Super Bowl ring, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like,
this is crazy.
She did nothing. Nothing. Unless she's like holding private concerts in the locker room for them. Like, I don't see any way. that she should get shit. Which I will tell you, there's at least 10 or 15 guys that are like, I ain't staying for this shit.
I know, dude. I was going to say, could you imagine the inner turmoil if you're like, hey, guys, could you stick around? My girlfriend's going to play a special concert for us in the locker room.
Yeah, and it's probably Kelsey, the punter, the kicker, and the long snapper.
Guys, her stuff is really good, all right?
You just got to listen to the words.
Dez Bryant was quick to say something on Twitter. He just said, chill the F out. And yes. everybody liked his energy on the reply of that. But I don't know. That's very alarming to me that this was even brought up as an idea. I would be curious to know, and I do think this, if this was a marketing tactic for everybody to freak out over FanDuel, but I don't understand how that's like a good thing because everybody's just calling them a bunch of clowns. Second part of this is I would like to know who actually said, one, this was okay, or who posted this tweet and thought it was a good idea. Like, was it a Swifty girl that's controlling the account? Like, that's the real Swifty question tactic, I have. Dude. Yeah. Like, that's the question I have here. Was it like some girl that's like a huge Taylor Swift fan and thought this would be like an awesome thing?
Yeah, I think they really missed it. I think they missed with their demo, honestly. That's a big miss. I think maybe the intern might get a talking to tomorrow.
I do want to go on record and say that I do think her music is really good. Hold on.
Wait, there's more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never in my wildest dreams would I buy a ticket to go see her.
Wildest dreams.
No shot, bro. No shot. Dude, some of those tickets were like 10 grand.
Did you even get the pun that you just said?
Yeah, because it's her song.
Oh, you didn't reply. I was like, I guess you're not that big of a fan. Like, I thought you weren't that us.
I'd rather go to a fucking Blink 182 concert, dude.
I actually heard Dean. I knew that about you because one time you were like, we were ranking artists or whatever, and you were like, Eminem, Snoop, 50, Taylor, T Swift.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. Because if you know me, my top four is not including Snoop or 50.
I thought it was like all the old rappers.
Oh, no. Thanks, bro.
No. Eminem is definitely on there. I know that.
No, M's top five. Wayne's top five. I think Wayne might be the greatest of all time. Wayne, but
that's
like,
right.
But Tupac's on your top five.
Yeah, Tupac and Biggie are on a different list because like they died so young. But like Talib Kweli, like I would even have to consider Kanye before Kanye, he fucking fell off the rails. You know, like there's a lot of good old style rappers. It's just if you were to ask me about this new age rap, it's just like throw some autotune on here and I'll just go, yeah. It's like there's a song. It's fucking stupid.
Last thing we got to talk about football here, but it's a little bit different. Have you guys heard this story? Cam McCormick, a tight end at the University of Miami, was granted a record-setting ninth season of eligibility to suit up for the Hurricanes in 2024. The 25-year-old Oregon native announced the news on his social media platform, Instagram, Thursday, calling the upcoming season his last ride.
I know I said this the last 5 years, but this really is the last ride.
To put this in perspective for you real quick, McCormick, freshman year, he was in the same class as Justin Herbert. It was his teammate in 2016. Was also in the same high school class as Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback.
Wow.
All right.
Holy shit. Wait, has he been in Miami this entire time?
No, he played at Oregon for 4 seasons.
Oh, you did say that with Herbert. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, for the love of the game, I respect it. For life, I hate it. Like, bro, you're 25 years old. Start your life.
I have a real big question here. How many college classes have you taken? How many degrees
Bro's going for his doctorate. He's probably
going for his PhD.
Four majors, yeah, yeah.
And second question, how much debt are you in? Because there's no way he got a full ride at all. There's no way he got a full ride at all these. He definitely is in some sort of debt. He's going to Miami, bro. That's grand a year.
No, my man's got a full.
Even at Oregon? He played at Miami last year, too. This isn't his first year.
It's the only reason why you're fighting to go back is because it's free. If my man's paying like $20,000 a year to go to school, like he 180 grand in debt for 9 years, like, what are we talking about?
I want to know, too, like, I know COVID was one of those years. I think you can get two. Were these just all due to injuries? Like, I know there's like personal hardships you can get. So was this just like the perfect storm that like this dude became Van Wilder? Like, how did this happen?
So that's a question everybody's asking. How is he still playing with eligibility? So in 2016, when he started, he did play. In 2017, he was a reserve. In 2018, he broke his leg and used a medical red shirt. This cost him actually his 2019 and his 2020 season just from recovering from that injury. Bad, yeah. And then in 2022, he tore his Achilles after playing two games, so he got his year of eligibility back. And then last year, he finally played in 2023 with the Miami Hurricanes. And now he's here in his last year.
Impressive.
What a long ride.
Well, he's got one last one left.
It's the last ride, baby.
That we know of. Maybe he gets hurt and gets another another year of eligibility, 26 years old.
The decade in college.
He'll be 26 in April, but I mean, I will say good for him. I mean, use up every second he got, man. Hey, good for him. The commitment, though, I will say that. You know, you're playing Division I football, you got to get up at the crack of dawn, do those really morning, early workouts, and it's a commitment and it's a grind for doing it for 9 years like that. You got to love what you're doing, so good for him.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of news in the last week, which is surprising because there's still a lot of free agents left out there in the baseball world. But one guy that we've been talking about frequently, Josh Hader, signs with the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros have done it again. One of the most dominant relievers in baseball signs there for 5 years, $95 million. Do the Houston Astros have the best bullpen in baseball? They now have Brian Abreu, Ryan Presley, and now Josh Hader. What a three-headed monster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a better pen in the league. Adding Hader, obviously, from the left side is unreal. I think I saw he was like a 1.38 ERA last year with like 33 saves.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add that, obviously, like, look, they're looking to play like a 6-inning game. That's how nasty they are. But it wasn't enough to get it done last year. It'll be interesting to see if they have enough to get through it this year. But as I watch every team get better, I just sit here and scratch my head because I think a lot of teams are getting better.
They obviously get better. They sign an electric arm. And I think the biggest thing is it provides them a little bit of flexibility. They have multiple people who can close. So, you know, you're not necessarily waiting or a Hader is, you know, he's going there to be probably the closer, you know, the number one guy. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a committee approach there. The contract, though, holy shit. That's Jedi. You're talking about it a couple weeks ago. That's just the type of money we're dealing with nowadays. I know he's a premier closer, but man, he's still a closer.
Now, Edwin Diaz did get more total money than him. I think Edwin Diaz got like $105 million from the New York Mets. But Josh Hader does beat out his AAV for a reliever. Yep. He's getting $19 million a year. So
I thought it was about 20. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for a guy that's only going to throw one inning and not every single day. Yeah, yep. Especially when you're riding on a guy that could potentially get hurt like that. But I mean, either way, if they keep Abreu, Presley, and Hader healthy with just even somewhat of the season all three of them had last year, they're in good hands from the seventh inning on for sure.
Dude, imagine the money Mariano would have gotten.
Oh my God. Like, dude, if Hader's getting 19, yeah, a prime Mo. Oh my God.
Do either of you want to feel old right now?
I mean, sure, dude. Let's
feel
let's,
every day when I get up, Jedi.
Yeah, let's fucking jump off a bridge. Go ahead.
The St. Louis Cardinals championship squad in 2011. Does that feel like a long time ago, 2011, when the Cardinals won? David Freese?
Yeah, it feels like a many moons ago.
Well, only two players from the championship roster are still active. Can you guess them?
Oof. The 20.
So it would have been Yachty, 11. But Yachty just retired.
Mm-hmm.
Wainwright's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Freese is done.
Damn, are they big?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody young.
You would know them. Yeah, you would know them.
Are they relievers?
One is a starting pitcher, and the other one is now converted kind of himself into a DH, but he played first base. He took over for Bulls. Shit. He also played third base for the Cardinals early on, but he took over at first when Bulls left. No. No.
Oh, yeah, he came over.
Yeah, he was the D-backs. No.
All right, so he's a DH now. He kind of took over for
first base.
He had an unbelievable 2022. Came out of nowhere.
Oh, Voit.
No. Voit was a Cardinal, though. That is a good guess, but that's not him. Great he wasn't guess, on the team.
Played for the Yanks?
I think he started in 2013, Voit. It's a few years away.
Had a really good year in 2022 for the Yanks?
Mustache man.
Carpenter.
Matt Carpenter is one of them. He actually signed base, third base, with the St. Louis Cardinals. Who knows if this will be his last year playing.
Yeah, this is his last run. I should have known that. The other one's a starting pitcher.
Correct. And he played on this 2011 squad. He was very young then. He also was a Yankee too. He has one of my favorite moments in, or not, I shouldn't say favorite, but one of my most embarrassing moments as a Yankee fan, watching them just get obliterated by, I think it was either the Astros or the Red Sox in the playoffs, and he just like face planted while he was pitching and just fell mid pitch. And I was just like, this could not get any worse.
That might be the most embarrassing thing.
Yeah, you can look it up for yourself. I just remember being like 16 and being like, oh my gosh.
2011 Cardinals? Pitch for the Yanks in the playoffs.
He doesn't look very athletic. He shaved his beard when he was a Yankee, and he had like the weird, he just didn't look right without a beard. He was on the Dodgers last year. He got traded there. He was also a White Sox earlier last year. Lance Lynn.
Damn, dude. I should have known both of those, dude. That's fucking bad.
And funny enough, Lance Lynn actually signed with the St. Louis Cardinals too. Who knows if this will be both of their last years. Both of them did struggle last year. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they're both on the tail end of their careers. If this is it, where they started, it's where they're finishing in St. Louis. So that'll be something to consider. But speaking of the St. Louis Cardinals, though, Jordan Hicks, the former reliever there, signed with the San Francisco Giants for 4 years, $44 million. The Giants have been swinging and missing a lot the past few off seasons. When you think about it, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager. I mean, that list keeps going on, but they finally land somewhat of a big name, I guess, in Jordan Hicks, one of the premier relievers, pretty notable for just throwing absolute fuzz out of the bullpen. You might not know where it is, but the dude throws gas. But the Giants signed this reliever star as a starter.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure I saw something that he was signing that deal as a starter. First time ever. Yeah.
I don't know if I like that. I don't.
Well, that's kind of my thought, though. It's not uncommon to see a starter be like start his career and then transition to a reliever. It is kind of rare to see a reliever kind of transition to a starter role. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last person I saw do that other than Michael King, who like just I don't know if they used him as like an opener and he just kept rolling. I don't know if the idea was to consistently start him. But
Michael King was a starter, though, when he came up. If you remember his rookie season as a Yankee, he was originally supposed to be a starter. That failed, and they said, let's move you to the bullpen because you throw a pretty nice sinker.
Yeah, and then but then he just got it back. I can't think of someone that was, like, big, though, that, like, started as a starter and then went to the pen. Or, I'm sorry, the other way around. Started in the pen.
Smoltz did, didn't he? But that obviously, that was in the 90s, yeah. though. I mean, shit, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's probably
I don't know.
Size Smoltz.
I don't like this. I like the signing. I don't like him going to be a starter. I think that, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. One, do I think this is going to affect him in any way to where, like, obviously you're going to be pitching a lot more. We have seen countless times that guys that are throwing more, especially with the time, the pitch clock, you know, and it's affecting arm injuries, people not being able to use spider tack and whatnot. Now you're going to have this guy go out there who throws very, very hard. So it's another thing to kind of center around there. This dude is one of those flamethrowers. And now you're going to be asking him to throw like six innings? I mean, I'm worried about the injury bug now with this dude.
I got two questions. What are you signing him? I know he's going to be a starter, but like, what are you signing him to be? Is he going to be your 4 or 5 or is he going to be like your 2? Obviously pretty risky if you're kind of counting on him to be, you know, a front end of the rotation guy when he's never done it before. And then secondly, you kind of hit on it right there, Jedi. How many innings is he really going to be able to throw consistently going in there? What, you're going to get 4 innings out of your starter and tax your bullpen every fifth day? I think it's a recipe for disaster. He's not going to be able to throw as hard as he always has to. You mentioned earlier, he's known for throwing fuzz, you know, upper, 101, 102, sometimes even harder, but he's not gonna be able to do that consistently anymore.
No, I just don't think it really fixes their problems in the offseason. I think their offensive production was horrible. I don't think their lineup's good.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, does it fill a need? Sure. But I just think the Giants are just so far away. And like we've talked about before, it's not lack of effort. Like, they're trying to land these top guys. They're just not. It's kind of surprising that no one's going there, because I wouldn't mind living in San Francisco, getting paid what they get paid, and playing in that ballpark, which I think is a top 5 ballpark, in my opinion.
It's because of the taxes. It's too much money.
Taxes are bad.
A lot of the players say that it's like ridiculous, the income tax in San Francisco. Well, so they don't want
to
go.
And just the ascension of the D-backs too. Nobody were expecting the D-backs to come out of nowhere like they did. And all signs are pointing to them continuing this trend and being that number two team behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is something to get used to. I'm going to call it. I wish him the success. I like Jordan Hicks, but I think that he's going to be a failed starter. They're going to move him back into the bullpen like halfway through the season and just say this is not working out. I just don't understand how you can go from being one of the better relievers when he's on. I always would probably consider him like a Chapman. When he's on, but when he's off, it's like, all right, we got to go through this noticeable, rough week and a half. Yeah, rough week and a half patch, but I don't know. The dude's bread and butter is throwing 102 miles an hour, blowing it by guys. He's not going to be able to do that seven innings. So now he's probably going to have to find different pitchers to throw. I'm curious how he adapts, because maybe he throws 102 the first two innings, but after that he starts throwing 98, 97. Does he start getting hit around a lot more because he's not blowing it by guys?
Yeah, and last thing too on this, with Hicks, you know, relievers, I feel like, are notoriously streaky too. They can be completely dominant, yeah. And then they can, like, you know, the ball looks like a beach ball to hitters. How's that going to be transitioning to starting, where you got to go through the lineup multiple times? You go through ebbs and flows. Jedi, you were a starter in college too. Like, you go through the lineup multiple times. You got to realize you're not going to strike every dude out. You're not going to get every single guy out right away too. So that's an interesting dynamic as well.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's nice to see the Giants finally land somebody, because they've been trying to get somebody for so long. So happy to see that. But, well, maybe they'll get more guys, though, because right now what we're talking about is the big names still left on the free agent market, because there's a lot for baseball right now. Cody Bellinger, Tim Anderson, Jock Peterson, Clayton Kershaw is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Still got Jordan Montgomery, who had an excellent playoff run. Blake Snell, Gene Segura, Jorge Soler, and Joey Gallo are a few big names, and there's even more that I'm not listing right now. But what is one guy that you think can make the biggest difference for a ball club, and where will he go and why? Okay, so I'm picking Jorge Soler. Jorge Soler almost had 40 home runs last year, and he's a big power back. I think that he should be going to San Francisco. We were just talking about them. The San Francisco Giants have a horrible offensive production, and they have done nothing to change that, which I'm very surprised by. I think, Houdini, you brought it up when we were talking about Jordan Hicks. It's like, great signing, but that's not the problem. You have Logan Webb. You have a decent bullpen that you can get by, and it's like, I don't know. Like, where's the offensive production? A lot of the guys that are in their lineup right now are average hitters. They don't have any sort of power bat. Their DH right now is Wilmer Flores. They have what the heck is his name? Mike Yastrzemski. Yeah. And it's like, he hasn't been, like, he's been good, but he hasn't been the type of player that he was maybe in like 2018, 2019. So it's like, I think bringing Jorge Soler in there, a righty bat, getting away from the lefty stuff, is just the big bat that they need in their lineup. A dude who's going to give you big power. We saw what he did in 2021 in the World Series for the Braves. So when he gets hot, he's hot. And he also had a stellar 2023 season. He's their guy. I see a lot of average hitters. Like I said, they really need some sort of power surge in their lineup. And I think he could be the guy that won't cost a lot of money too. It's not like you're going to give him, like, you know, $80 million. So I think you'll maybe give him a 2-year, maybe 3-year deal. I think he'll do well there.
Nice. I like it, Jenna. I think that's a great pick. They need help, man. You bring up their DH being Wilmer Flores there.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, too, that Jock Peterson, who was a Giant last year, has left, and that was more of their power bat there, so you need to replace him. So you can even think of it that way. Maybe replace him with a righty, because I do think it's a little lefty-heavy in the lineup.
Great point. All right, I like it, Jedi. You know, I'm going with, I think, a little bit of a low-key player. I think somebody, when you look at the remaining free agents, isn't a sexy pick, but I think it's going to be, for whoever signs him, is going to be a great addition to their offense here. And I say that because I believe this person is now going to be a strictly DH. But JD Martinez hit 270 last year, 33 dingers, over 100 RPIs. I think he had like 102 or 103. Kind of a little bit of a resurgent year. You know, he's starting to get up there in age at, what is he, 35? Yeah, 35 now. I think to a team like the Orioles, you know, they're young, they got talent. That's not a question. Will JD be an everyday bat? Maybe. In this scenario, I think he is. I think he kind of solidifies DH. A little bit of a platoon situation there. But you add, I think, more than just the bat is the mentality too. He's been in the AL East. He's an experienced veteran on a team that kind of needs that veteran experience. They got all the talent in the world, but they kind of just need some veteran help there. I think that'd be a great addition.
JD Martinez, one of seven players to make an All-Star game in the last 7 years.
Wow. Great stat.
Okay. I love that pick. I do think they could use some veteran leadership in that clubhouse. I do think he provides a need for them as well. Offensively, I think they're good, but you can always add another bat. You can find a place to put a bat.
Yeah, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, he hit 270. Like, he's a veteran. You know what you're going to get out of him.
So to answer your question, I would go Belly still, but I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins. The reason why I say that is Alex Kirilloff just got surgery, but he signed like a 1 year deal for like $9.5 million. You have Buxton still. So when you look at their pitching, like Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez, not the one from Backyard Baseball, who was nasty, wore that red cap.
Savage.
They have Maeda. Obviously, Gallo's a free agent. It's pretty obvious why he's a free agent. It's kind of hard to convince analytical guys to sign a guy that's going to hit 21 shit. Bombs and hit a buck 70. So
strike out 200 times.
Yeah. So I just think Belly needs to be in a situation where he can win. I do think he would be awesome going back to the Cubs. I would like that franchise to get back to relevant. I think baseball is 10 times better in Wrigley in October. Like, it's just a dope place to watch playoff baseball. But I think this team's close. And they have one of the best closers in the game.
I really like that pick a lot, especially if Belly replaces Bellinger, who you just mentioned, strikes out a ton and bats like 170 with 27 bombs. You'll get 27 bombs from Cody, and he'll bat on a bad year, maybe still bat like 220. But you're expecting him to maybe hit that 260.
If Belly replaces Gallo.
Yes.
Okay, you said Belly replaces Bellinger.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, which is hard to do. That's hard to do.
Yes, Belly replaces Gallo, my bad.
Yeah,
I had one last honorable mention that I wanted to say, because I think that this is the most Deepaw, yours was very underrated, but I also think that this is an underrated selection here too. Gene Segura. This dude is too good to not have a bounce back year. Last year, he batted 217, but before that, he didn't have a season below 266 batting average since 2016. And five of those seasons were above 280, with a few of them above 300. Yeah. You could put him anywhere in the infield. Last year, he played third base. He might be getting a little old for shortstop where he used to play, but you could still put him over at second. I'm sure the dude will be willing to and is able to play first base because the dude's that athletic. Take a flyer on this dude. It will be so cheap. I mean, like, he's the guy, like, everybody's still talking about the Gio Urshela's, like, I'm not going to lie, the Gio Urshela hip problem is something that kind of scares me. He just had hip surgery. I'm going with Gene Segura if I have to go someone that I'm looking for, a platoon guy even maybe.
Was he in Miami last year?
He was.
Yeah. It's crazy if you look at Gene Segura's career stats. Like, he put up a hell of a career. Like, if he walked away from baseball right now, I'm really impressed. 1,500 hits, a 26 war, 281 career average, 513 RBIs, a slugging of a 401, 729 OPS, like 110 bombs, because he's not really a power guy, but like...
It's better than I thought it'd be, honestly.
Yeah.
He's also All-Star. He's not that old, right? Isn't he like 33?
So he's 33. He's going to be 34 by the time the season starts. So he's getting up there. I do agree with you. He's not a shortstop anymore. Would he hurt you in a platoon at second base? No.
Would he
hurt you? Like, if DJ
can play anywhere but short, basically. I think he's too old for short, but you can play anywhere in the infield.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if DJ can play third on random days, Gene Segura can as well. So I do like your pick.
Yeah, but I just thought he deserves some love.
While we're talking about, do the Yanks, I haven't heard you guys talk about this at all. Do they have any chance at Belly? Like,
no.
There's a lot for him.
Like, you have Rizzo. So you're not gonna pay him top dollar to come play first base, because I think Rizzo might be the best defensive first baseman in the game.
Belly doesn't play outfield too,
right? So where are you gonna put him? Right, you have Soto, you have Stanton, you have Judge, you have Verdugo.
I'll tell us the Martian.
You have the Martian. You're just building a log jam.
Yeah, just
that you don't have to.
I was gonna say a little rotation, but still,
Well, this is hilarious. The Oakland Athletics, or should I say the Las Vegas Athletics, soon have made a fool of themselves once again. The Athletic teased their upcoming promotions this season. The day where every team gives away shirts, bobbleheads, jackets, ball caps, something you look forward to as a fan every year. You circle it on the calendar. You're like, I got to go to that game to get this bobblehead. Yeah. The Athletics decided to not have any fun this year and have no promotional items to give away, but instead have an educational weather day for fans for a game in the 2024 season.
Bro, like,
no way.
It's getting to a point where it's getting to a point where I think like the ownership is just so spiteful that the fans are pissed that 100%. They're selling them. So they're just being petty as fuck.
That's pure dollars and cents right there.
Yeah, like in their minds, right, we're not good because the fans don't come. But if you go back to like that 2000, 2001, 2002 teams, they were absolutely loaded and the place was sold out all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a hard time understanding. First of all, the stadium's in a shit fucking area.
Well, it's in disrepair as well.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going there this summer.
Yeah, good. You'll be one of the last people that goes there, dude. It's a piece of shit. Dude, I'm telling you, buy a dollar ticket. You'll be able to sit wherever you want. So, yeah, I just think the ownership's just petty as shit. And, you know, they're going to suck when they go to Vegas, too. Like, sure, are they going to sell seeds? Sure.
They'll just suck in a new nice stadium. That's it.
Yeah, it is what it is, dude. It's petty as fuck.
That's hilarious, though. And that's just being cheap as shit.
Yeah, that's a really bad look. I mean, why do the Athletics hate fun? No one will ever know.
And just for the record, a wise man once told me, scared money don't make no money. And they don't make no money.
No money.
I actually wonder, are they in the loss every year? They have to be, because nobody goes. There's nobody in the attendance.
No. They're probably not operating in a loss. But once again, the Golden State Warriors are unbelievably supported in that area. The fans want the ownership to just pretend to give a fuck.
The Raiders were as well. The Raiders were bad, but the fans still supported them. They still showed up every week.
Yeah, so I completely disagree with this movement, this realignment. And you know what? In our lifetime, the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders will be back there. Hot take.
Really?
Hot take. Yeah, I do. I think the Raiders go back and they plug an expansion team into Vegas.
In Vegas.
Interesting. But before we get out of here, Houdini, what is your final thought?
My final thought is a legitimate question to the two of you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three scenarios. I want you to tell me who's the bigger scumbag.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, can I ask a question first?
Yes, sir.
Is this real life? Or are you thinking about that? You were thinking about this.
No, this is movie related.
Okay.
Okay. Three scenarios. Who's the bigger scumbag? The person who's dating a guy, who the guy allegedly dies. She dates his best friend, gets pregnant, the guy comes back, the best friend dies, she goes back to the original guy, raises the kid with the best friend dead.
That's one. Does homeboy know that it isn't his?
Yes.
Okay.
Scenario two, druggy drug addict. Person's absolutely in love with them. She doesn't want them. Waits 6 years to tell them that their kid is theirs and then dies of AIDS.
Jenny?
Wait, who dies of AIDS?
Oh, the girl.
Jenna.
Or.
Was the first one Pearl Harbor? Yes. I was going to say, I thought that shit's familiar. All right.
Okay. Or. The guy allegedly dies in a plane crash. And when he comes back 5 years later, she's married with like a 3-year-old kid.
Castaway.
Okay. So there's your three scenarios. You have Castaway. You have Jenny from Forrest Gump. So you have Kelly from Castaway, which if you look at the timeline, is kind of sketch.
Doesn't add up.
You have Jenny from Forrest Gump, who Forrest is in love with her. And they have sex one time, has a kid, contacts him that this is his kid, and then tells him she's got AIDS and she's dying. Or the chick from Pearl Harbor that's banging Affleck, Affleck goes and dies, hooks up with Hartnett, has Hartnett's kid. Affleck comes back. She tells him. Then they both go to war. Hartnett dies, and then she marries Affleck. I mean,
all right. I think this is clear cut for me, because I think I've let my feelings be known on this podcast. Yeah, no, it's Jenny.
Rank them 1 to 3.
Rank them. Jenny 1.
I was
one.
Just going to say, that was my 1.
Okay, I'm unanimous. Jenny's 1.
Jenny yes. 1. Yeah, Jenny 1. I think Kate Beckinsale, number 2. And it's a close 2-3, but what's her name from Castaway?
Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. That's number 3 for me, because that's like that's to me was something even crazier. Like that. The thing that makes that a little sketchy is the timeline, like you said. It doesn't quite add up there.
I'm with you in the rankings. I do think it's Jenny, it's Kate Beckinsale, and then it's Kelly. Because at the end of the day, Kelly's turned to Chuck and said, "You're the love of my life."
She goes back to him, bro. Yeah.
So, Jedi, do you have an opinion here?
I would have flipped
it.
You're
the love of my life.
I would have put
Kelly as 2?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would have put 1. 1 is definitely Jenny. Pearl Harbor 1 is 3, and then Castaway is 2.
Like, I don't know what I'd be more pissed at Jenny about. The fact that you're hitting me up 6 years after you have this kid.
I think what just does it too is like how long it went on too. Like, she knew Forrest loved her from the moment they met.
Yeah, and they bang one time, and then like 6 years, like I don't know how much, but like you tell me that I have a kid 6 years later, like I missed out on that early.
Yeah.
Stage, like, and then you and come back and you tell me you have AIDS.
Yeah,
like I don't know which one I'm more pissed about. Like, hey, this is your kid, or hey, you need to take care of me until I die.
Oh yeah, I might have given you AIDS too.
Yeah, and by the way, you got to go get a blood test, because we definitely didn't wear a condom, because that's your kid. I mean, I'm just saying that's a 10 out of 10 on the scumbag scale, dude.
That's breaking it right there.
Well, that'll wrap it up here at Hot Shots Podcast. If you ever need to keep up to date with your sports news or want to hear cool rankings, then follow us on all social media platforms at Hot Shots Podcast. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.